FNC's Carlson, critical race theory is a lie. From the first word to the last, from start to finish, it is vicious, it is cruel. By Jeff Poor on September 9, 2020. During the opening monologue of his Tuesday broadcast, Fox News Channel's Tucker Carlson, host of Tucker Carlson Tonight, slammed so-called critical race theory, noting that President Donald Trump has issued an executive order halting the instruction of it. Carlson argued critical race theory was intended to serve incompetent elites and posed risks when implemented in government agencies. Transcript as follows. Carlson, on Friday, the president issued an executive order forcing federal agencies to halt mandatory indoctrination on something called critical race theory. What exactly is critical race theory? Well, if you work in the government or in corporate America, you probably already know what it is. It's when your employer hires a lavishly paid consultant to tell half the room they're damned to hell because of the way they were born. In a word, critical race theory is racism. More broadly, it is the latest attempt by the most privileged people in our society, the celebrities, politicians, college professors, and talk show hosts, to disclaim the blame for their mismanagement of our country onto the people below them. Hey, working class guy driving the truck. Hey, beat cop making $50,000 a year to risk your life. It's your fault. You did it. You're the real enemy here, and there's nothing you can do to change that. Systemic racism. Sorry. For our incompetent elites trying to cover their tracks, you can see the appeal of this. And by the way, it pays well. Not many diversity trainers are going hungry tonight. Unfortunately, critical race theory is a lie. From the first word to the last, from start to finish. It is vicious. It is cruel. It divides the country potentially for good. It makes Americans hate each other. It's a tragedy in that way. It is also, and you cannot say this enough because it is true, it is also the very definition of the racism they're claiming to fight, and yet, it is everywhere. Critical race theory is what apparently informed Kamala Harris just today when she said that she was, quote, proud of Jacob Blake. Blake is the man credibly accused of sexual assault. How can Harris say that? Because she doesn't care what Jacob Blake did or didn't do. She only cares what color he is. According to critical race theory, that's all that matters. This stuff is so obviously poison, fatal to any society that ingests it. It came from the universities, of course, like all bad ideas. But it spread quickly to the corporate world, which has found critical race propaganda enormously useful to the bottom line. Pay no attention to our sweatshops in Asia. There's a BLM logo on our website. You know how it works. But it didn't stop there. Last week, we interviewed a journalist called Chris Rufo, who has been investigating the spread of critical race theory in the federal government. He's been doing this virtually alone. The rest of the press corps has ignored it. Rufo told us that even the FBI is now holding weekly Maoist critical race struggle sessions, which is shocking if you think about it. Watch. Begin video clip. Christopher Rufo, contributing editor, City Journal, critical race theory has actually now infiltrated our criminal justice system. Just this week I released a story that the FBI is now holding weekly seminars on intersectionality, which is a hard-left academic theory that reduces people to a network of racial, gender and sexual orientation identities that intersect in complex ways and determine whether you are an oppressor or oppressed. End video clip. Carlson. So that interview, along with a lot of Chris Rufo's other highly detailed reporting from the past several months, apparently got the attention of the president and he acted. It also prompted a flood of tips for Rufo from workers at federal agencies, the ones currently being told they're evil for the way they look, mostly who kept silent about what they were going through. They felt they had no choice but to endure it. But they do have a choice. This is wrong and we should say so loudly. Americans are starting to realize that. Now, the White House, as we said, has responded to their pleas. So the news media, all of this was a disaster. They claim to be journalists, but they despise actual reporting like Chris Rufo. His coverage showed that they are complicit in an anti-American lie that is deeply unpopular with actual Americans, and they didn't take it well. Watch. Begin video clip. Maria Cardona, CNN political commentator. What these trainings are designed to do is for each person themselves to be able to recognize that unconscious bias and to be able to pinpoint it before it becomes a problem. Unidentified female, This is at a time when the country is going through a national reckoning on race relations, so is this tone deaf? Unidentified male, it is insane is what it is. I feel like I'm in a twilight zone. Jeremy Diamond, CNN White House correspondent. There is some clear evidence that some racial sensitivity or racial bias training might be needed and beneficial in the federal government. Unidentified male, this follows a pattern by the president of disregarding attempts to reckon with this fraught racial history that is undeniably the case in this country. Unidentified female, it never ceases to amaze me how many people hear the phrase white privilege like it's a curse word. I'm here to reassure you, America, it is not one. End video clip. Carlson, white privilege is very real, they are telling you. It is time for a, quote, reckoning on race relations. You hear that all the time. But at some point, you've got to wonder why any of these people, the most privileged people in America, still had their jobs. If they meant what they were saying, why haven't they resigned and given their highly paid gigs to oppressed people? That's a very good question. It's the core question. And someone ought to ask Jeb Zucker about that sometime. Zucker is the head of CNN. He is a graduate of Harvard University. He's been in television his entire adult life. Jeff Zucker is the embodiment of privilege if there ever was one. According to critical race theory, the theory that he espouses and defends, Jeff Zucker got his job precisely because of systemic racism. So why does he still have it? How can he bear to hold that job? Needless to say, Jeff Zucker has no plans to resign. Instead, according to sources, he ordered his minions to attack this show for the crime of criticizing critical race theory. Over the weekend, the most beautiful ones did just that. Begin video clip. Brian Stelter, CNN chief media correspondent, Tucker's show gets results. No more talk about white privilege, no more examination of systemic racism. The Trump administration doesn't want it inside federal agencies. Even though 2020 is being defined in part by this long overdue reckoning about race. End video clip. Carlson, they are children. They do what they're told. This morning, we are told, Jeff Zucker instructed the entire CNN news operation to keep up the attacks on this show, which is fine, we can't control it. Good luck with that. Go crazy. But as long as Jeff Zucker still holds onto his own job, which according to their own talking points, is the ill-gotten fruit of white privilege and systemic racism, we will know for certain they do not mean a single word of what they are saying because of course, they don't mean it. They never did. Meanwhile, we are learning how deeply this poison has penetrated into the federal agencies. Whiteness is terrorism. That's what they're telling the people whose job it is to defend our country, the U.S. military. This show has obtained video of a U.S. Air Force staff psychologist, a man called Dr. Ryan Warner, leading an online seminar called Unmasking Microaggressions in the Workplace. That happened on June 5. In the video lecture, which is also delivered to the USDA and the Forest Service, Warner links so-called microaggressions to the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis. Watch. Begin video clip. Ryan Warner, psychologist, the innocent subtle things. They may not seem like a big deal to us, but as we see in today's society, similar to what happened to George Floyd, those microaggressions, those unconscious bias can also lead to more significant and severe impact. End video clip. Carlson, right. So if you hadn't offended your coworker by asking her where she's from, a microaggression, then George Floyd might still be alive. That's lunacy. It's also incredibly stupid. But it's the official message of a staff psychologist at a U.S. Air Force base. It's not just Dr. Warner, he's a symptom of a much larger problem. Remember that this summer, it emerged that the U.S. Army's so-called Operation Inclusion told soldiers in Alabama that the phrase, "Make America Great Again" is a form of, quote, socially acceptable covert white supremacy. Right. That's the campaign slogan of the Commander-in-Chief. Now, according to the Army's, quote, Inequity and Inclusion Agency, the phrases All Lives Matter, American Exceptionalism and, quote, the celebration of Columbus Day are also examples of white supremacy. They are racist, too. It goes on like this. In May of 2017, the U.S. Coast Guard spent $8,600 on diversity training, led by white fragility author and noted lunatic, Robin DiAngelo. The Defense Intelligence Agency, meanwhile, supposedly a serious place staffed by serious people, also endorsed D'Angelo's crackpot race theories. The head of the DEA, Lieutenant General Robert Ashley, said in a recent town hall and in his weekly email to employees that white fragility was recommended reading. Meanwhile, over at NASA, employees are being directed to resources concerning white fragility. An Atlantic piece, The Atlantic magazine, called Microaggressions Matter, and a guide on how to be a good, quote, white ally. Remember, this is an agency that you pay for that is designed to launch rockets and study space. In August of 2018, the Department of the Navy gave a group called White Men as Full Diversity Partners almost $10,000 a contract for training services. That was the same group that hosted a three-day diversity re-education camp last year at Sandia National Laboratories. That's the outfit that designs our nuclear weapons to defend the country existentially. In the opening session for white men, and only white men at Sandia Labs, the trainers demanded the men make a list of associations about white male culture. This is so sick. The trainer wrote that some of the associations included, quote, white supremacist, KKK, Aryan Nation, MAGA hat, privileged and mass killings. Is anyone actually okay with this? Does anyone want to be subjected to this? Want your sons subjected to this? They didn't do anything wrong. They were just born a certain way. This is evil. And it's also the most corrosive thing we can do. It's hard to imagine even MSNBC contributors really want, I don't know, nuclear submarines in our Navy. Wasting time hating themselves when they should be defending our nation. So what is this really about? Why are they doing this? Well, of course, it's about capturing the US military for the political left. That's what it's about. Nothing else. And it's working. At the Pentagon, a shockingly high number of flag officers seem sympathetic to radical left-wing social theories, shockingly high. Secretary of Defense Mark Esper clearly is as well. Even among uniformed troops, new polls show that the president's support is now underwater. So the point is, their plans have paid off. The question is, why is the left so intent on controlling the minds of our military? Well, there could be many reasons for that. None of them are good. Follow Jeff Poor on Twitter at Jeff_Poor.